Off we go. Isaiah chapter 2. It's going to be a little bit about the day of the Lord that we are looking forward to here. First of all, good morning and welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast once again. Today, of course, is Tuesday, January the 24th. 2012, first month of January, just about to the end here, another week or so. This is the 24th day of January. We've got 342 to go. So we'll see what the Lord's got in store for us in these 342 days left of this year, 2012. Today's devotion is Isaiah chapter 2, the day of the Lord. It's Isaiah's vision of the wrath of God that's going to befall Judah and Jerusalem for their sins. One definition of the day of the Lord here is the time when the Lord intervenes in our daily life, the daily life of man, both in blessings and in judgment. You get both of them there, so you may want to look in the mirror ahead of me sometimes. The text, I'm going to read you a little text here. It comes chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. I can make them white as snow, the Lord's saying. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wool being pure and white. Verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20 says, but by the same token, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Prophet Isaiah, again, we're talking about his vision, and just to get you in the mind of where we're going here and what this is about, look over at chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of these, tells us these are four kings here during this time, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and certainly Hezekiah there, kings of Judah. But jump down to number 4. Here's what it's about. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Now bear in mind, I'm not reading off the internet. I'm not reading off the daily news. We're not looking at what we saw on the world news last night at 7 o'clock. This is in biblical times, but it sounds like 2012, doesn't it? It runs kind of a parallel with 2012. Sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backwards. That's not a good road to be traveling down, especially today, is it? It tells us in biblical times, but we could just parallel that to this very day and time. So with that, let's jump over to chapter 2. It's going to tell us the same thing again in verse 1. the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. And the top, the high, and that's the highest part of the mountain, the top, ain't it? And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Micah 4:1 says, but in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and that the people shall flow to it. The people will come to it. Remember from our Genesis Bible study of recent, chapter 49:1, when we was talking about Jacob, it says, Jacob called all his sons together, that I may tell you that which shall befall all of you in the last days. Remember when he got them every one and said, okay, moving on. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Said he will teach us of his ways of living, won't he? Jeremiah 50 says, and they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, their faces, they're hidden in that direction, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord, a perpetual covenant, in a perpetual covenant. Perpetual means everlasting, doesn't it? It means on and on and on. In a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Zechariah 8:21, and the inhabitants of one city shall go forth to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. Luke 24, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Starting out at Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. These are tools of harvest, aren't they? Nation shall not lift up swords against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more fighting. Amen. Psalm 46, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder in many pieces. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10 right after that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us live in the light of the Lord. Certainly. Ephesians 5:8. We need to buckle your seatbelt right here. For you were sometimes darkness. Remember when we was in darkness? But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Once we was blind, wasn't we? But now we can see. Amen. Remember them days. Don't want to remember too much, but don't want to forget where we come from, what the Lord's done for us. 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He don't need no Southern Company, no Georgia Power, no Mississippi Power, no Alabama Power. He's enough light for everybody, isn't he? Amen. Verse 6, look here, next few verses tells of following in our old sinful customs and our old sinful ways. Arrogance is pride is going out the window here. No more of that. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines. Soothsayers being magicians and fortune tellers. And they please themselves in the children of strangers. Deuteronomy 18:4. These nations which thou shalt possess, hearkening to observers of the times, as the fortune tellers, and unto diviners, the magicians. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so. Jeremiah 10:2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed in the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. They don't even know what they're looking at. The heathens don't, unbelievers. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Verse 7. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Deuteronomy 17. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply, that he should get more horses. Verse 8, the land is also full of idols. We all know how God feels about idols, don't we? They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Jeremiah 2:28 says, but where are thou gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of trouble. Let's just see what they can do. He knows they can't do nothing because they're handmade. There won't be no help at all of it. Amen. Verse 9. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Revelation 6:15. Here again, we remember from our Revelation Bible study, we've already covered this. The kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The proud looks of man shall be humbled. We know how God feels about a proud look, don't we? And the haughtiness of men, the arrogance of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Lord alone by himself shall be exalted, lifted up in that day. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 5:15, and the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Zechariah 9:16, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. He shall be brought low. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. That was from Job chapter 40, when he's talking about human pride. Verse 13, and upon the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan, how ye fir tree, for the cedar, how means weep and cry, you know, weep and wail, for the cedar is fallen because the mighty are spoiled. How ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. Verse 14, and upon all the high mountains, and upon the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. For the king had to see of the navy of Tarshish, it was cargo ships, remember, because Tarshish down on the coast, it was a shipping city, shipping seaport, with the navy of Hiram once in there in 3 years, and every 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold, silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. Amen. Verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, we just read that, didn't we, in verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. He's pretty serious about that arrogance and pride, ain't he? verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. They're trying to hide now. For the fear of the Lord, for the fear and the terror of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Luke 23:30, then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. They're trying to hide now. They run, but they can't hide now. They're trying to open the hills and the mountains to fall on. Revelation 9:6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They think they can get out of God's judgment by dying. But it said, you ain't going to die now. It said, you took care of that a long time ago. You can't get away even in death, the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Talking about the unsaved here. Going to be rough on according to this, ain't it? Oh, boy. Yes, sir. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Isaiah 30:22, you shall all defile also the covering of thy graven image of silver and the ornament of thy molten image of gold. Verse 21, just about done. To go into the clefts of the rocks and onto the top of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord. This ain't reverential fear. This is fear and terror, now, isn't it? And for the glory of His majesty, which He ariseth to make, to shake terribly the earth. Again, verse 10 and 19. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. Verse 19 says, and they shall go into the hold of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Not going to be too pleasant any, is it, in the day of the Lord. Verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? That means don't trust in man, doesn't it? Man can't help you. You especially don't want to try to talk to all your homeboys about something pertaining to church or the Bible, because they ain't going to help you no way. You remember, you used to be one of them. Remember how you thought? If you're going to talk with somebody, you need to talk with someone with some authority, doesn't it? Like the pastor, like the deacon. You don't want to just talk to anyone, because they ain't going to be able to help you. Psalm 146:3 verifies that. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. No help. Might as well not ask them all the help they're going to give you. No help, from whom there is no help. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Finally, in conclusion, I just want y'all, I know you heard this, you read this, but I'm going to refresh your memory. I've got a couple of verses here about when Jesus comes back to get us. Yeah, I just want to remind you here. Now this I say, brethren, this is, it's 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. Now this day, brethren, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. God don't take no dead folks in heaven, does He? Only those who are born again is the ones that's going to heaven. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Romans 12:2 says we'll be transformed, don't we? But the same thing. Each wise we'll be. We won't be our old selves no more, will we? For this incorruptible must put on incorruption. Corruptible must put on incorruption. And the mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is vanished in victory. O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. And that's where it comes. Nowhere else, isn't it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, talking to his church now, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, growing in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. is not in vain. You won't be doing it for nothing, will you? Okay. I have 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, similar here. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When we all get to heaven for the day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus. Amen. We'll sing and shout the victory. Ain't that the way it goes? Wherefore, comfort each other with these words. Okay, I want to add just a little bit to that. As chapter 5, let me just read this. This is some instructions for us. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write you. He said, you just need to be ready. This is Paul, by the way, he wrote the 2 Thessalonians, wasn't it? You don't need me to tell you that's what he's saying. You just need to be ready. You ought to know that already by now. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child. The pain at that childbirth, travail means. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. It ain't going to surprise us. We were looking forward to it. I mean, it's the world's going to be. They weren't going to be surprised. The saved folks are looking forward to it. You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be alert, don't we? For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. Verse 11, therefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Strengthen one another, is what the Scripture says. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very brightly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. Oh boy, be patient towards all men. Well, easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? Amen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything, give thanks. Because it's God's will, isn't it? According to the Bible, it is. But this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. don't know that why me stuff. There's the answer right there when you say why me. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, despise not preaching. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Okay, in conclusion again, finally again, we as believers are told in the last verse, and not this one, but in Isaiah 2:21, that we need to see to stop the scripture says cease from men, not from man, but we need to put our trust in the Lord. Not with man. The man can't do us any good. No matter how great and how mighty the men are, at the end, it's God who's going to judge us, isn't it? Not man. We must continue to trust God for a hope of everlasting life. We must trust Him for, excuse me, for our help. We must work hard to secure His favor. We must certainly, by the same token, we need to dread His wrath. We've been told many times that God hates sin, and he punishes sin as well. We need to let our hope be in the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly for everlasting life with Him. There's always hope in Christ, and even to the last minute, there's always hope in Christ. And finally, one more verse, Micah 7:7 says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. The word of the Lord.